This is a recording of John Rowe, former head forester at Stansted Park.
He lives at 1 Roland Castle Lodge, Roland Castle, and this is recorded on the 24th of November 2004.
Are we ready? Well, I was born on the 30th of January, 1923, at Tensham Mills, Bradninch, Exeter, Devon. I went to school. I'd got sort of six brothers and sisters, and I made the seventh. But the thing was that everything was done wholesale. I mean, the bottles of medicine were big quart bottles, you know. I don't know. I often asked my mother how this stuff was ever paid for. And she said, well, we won't worry too much about that. So there was no sign they ever paid for a lot of the stuff. But I mean, my father hadn't got a bad job. I mean, he was reasonably well paid, but of course he was a gambler. He would do horses, back horses every day. I mean, he would always say, oh, well, never mind, I'm still using their money, you know, it's all right. But never was.
And what was his job?
He was head miller, you see. And he had worked there. What happened was that originally, all down this valley, from Amiot, Columpton, and all the way down through Bradninch Hill, and Kensham, and so on, with paper mills on the river. They all used to use the water, and then just turned out sometimes the rivers were green and sometimes they were red and sometimes they were, you know, whatever they were changing, it just used to dip it in the river. I mean, so I don't know what they did further down, but they made coarser things like this convoluted paper you use for packing and cardboard and stuff like that. So it didn't matter so much, really, I suppose. Anyway, yes. Anyway, he was head miller, but I mean, we did everything that's necessary for running a mill. But I mean, he had three elder brothers, and they'd all been through the mill, whether they liked it or not. They all had to work there, and then as soon as they're since it was a couple of years older, well, then they went on to other jobs anyway. But anyway, I said, well, I didn't see that I needed to stay there. After I'd been there a couple of years, I said, right, well, I'm away. There was a war on, and I mean, everybody had changed their jobs, and I would have been after another sort of 6 months, I would have been told where to go to work, whether I liked it or not. And I mean, I said, well, all right, yes, I'll go. And that was it. The thing was that I worked at several places, but anyway, getting back to going to school, the village was a fairly large village, and it had three schools, the infant school, a boys' school, and a girls' school, and they were all full up with, you know, children everywhere. And this is really, it was very straightforward, but in our family, we didn't have much chance to do anything. We weren't allowed out running about after school, you know, after tea, in the summer or winter, really. Not when we were the younger ages, like everybody else's kids were racing about, but we had to stay in. And that was it. I mean, we really didn't get a lot of freedom. But we'd keep rabbits and chickens and things like that down the garden. Anyway, I went to school, and I think I had a prize every Christmas. I don't think I ever missed, and sometimes I had to from school for being head of class, or just for good work if I didn't do it all. Anyway, the thing was that it went on, it was all right. We did everything as well as to the school, the gardening and everything. And that was it. Well, then I left and went on with my father. But there was an awful lot to know. I mean, I used to know all the different corn that was grown, all the different types of corn. And of course it was completely different than it is now. I mean, you don't see many fields of oats these days. I mean, it's mainly just wheat and barley these days, you know, I mean, that's about all there is. And the thing is that there is a very wide range of stuff, of beans and peas and everything, which we used to have two pairs of stone wool. One is, you said I suppose earlier, was that originally it was, why it was known as Kinship Mills is that it was a paper mill at one time, and then it got burnt down, so it set it fire. And the chimney from that paper mill stood there right up until this war that we just been through. My brother threw that chimney, then he had put a couple of ropes there, cleaning all the bricks off, and he used that because, I mean, he was in the building trade. I mean, it was all part of the job, because he was, once he'd got all that property there, for miles and miles, was the Prince of Wales owned it, you see. I mean, it was all Dutchy property. And of course, so he got started with his small firm. He got just had three or four men anyway, and he started doing the Dutchy work, and then he took on all of the Dutchy work, and because his firm just got bigger and bigger, and that was it. Anyway, it's just a small world how it all works out. I mean, even we've got a manor house, and one of my sisters worked there. Well, in the end, I mean, they wanted to know if my brother wanted to live in the manor house, you see. And I mean, he said no, he didn't want to live in the manor house. He's got a house. Anyway, the thing was that went on and on until I left my father, and I was on one, two, three different aerodromes working, and I used to, there was several drivers there that weren't all that keen, you want to drive, just get in and drive, you know. And we used to do three load of bricks a day from the brickyard up to the aerodrome, tip the bricks out and back again. Did two loads before lunch and one more after lunch, and that was the day's work. But oh goodness, Well, I had to register with the, I was 18 then, and I registered, and then I got a letter one morning from the Queen, or the King, I don't know which King, with a shilling in it. I never kept a shilling. And that was it. Just had to report to Dorchester. Reported to Dorchester Barracks. Caught the train up from Exeter. And then, I mean, it was real chaos from then on. I mean, you just ordered about and told to do this and do that and do something else. And so it went on. I mean, it took me a fortnight to remember my army number. If you don't remember your number, you don't get anything. I mean, you know, you're sort of just one of these silly things. I mean, I don't know. I could remember numbers after that. I remember nearly every number I could lay hold to. But anyway, the thing was, it wasn't a disaster, but you said after I'd done my first set of training at Chichester, at Dorchester Barracks, I was asked there in an interview what I would like to do, because they said, well, you've got three other brothers, two in the army and one in the air force. But they didn't tell me then that if there was such a thing as a family with four brothers, that the fourth one wouldn't be taken on to service, because in the First World War there was four brothers killed. I mean, nobody said anything to me. I didn't know anything about it, and nobody bothered. So one brother, the one that was the next elder one, was in the Air Force. The one after that was driving a general. He got quite a cushy job. He was all right. He went to Norway and that way around. And then the eldest brother, well, I mean, he went in the artillery and on attack guns all the war, but then he got himself quite a crafty job with building all these new gun emplacements on the South Coast here. Anyway, that was it, but I left Dorchester. I got 7 days leave, but I had a few days off anyway. Then I had to report to Scotland. I was given a travel warrant and all that was necessary, and told which train I had to catch, and that there would be others there that would be going that I would meet up with. And there was five others that was going to the same unit as I was. That was the 22nd Motor Coach Company. Right, so we got there we left on the Saturday, King's Cross, traveled up and all night, and then I got to not directly where we went below, because the unit that I went to, the motor coach company, was all split up. It was two coaches here and a few somewhere else. Anyway, that was all right. I did that for a few weeks. Well, then all the coaches had to be handed in, and we had all brand new lorries. They were troop carrying lorries. And I was don't remember the number of mine. 555776 was the number. Again, when you're, if you're driving transport in the army and you don't remember the number of your lorry or vehicle that you're in charge of, you've had it. I mean, you gotta wait until everybody else has gone out the car park and take the left one and left behind. Anyway, I sort of was there then and soon got to know it. It was very friendly in Scotland, but by golly, there weren't any beds, you know. You just get on the floor with a couple of blankets and that was your lot. And then in December, I'd been up there about 2 or 3 months then, no more. I went down, I was moving ammunition from out the woods, taking it to the station and putting it on the train every day. Then I went back to the B platoon again, and there's a scheme on, and we've all got to go on the scheme for a fortnight, whether you like it or not. So, all right. But you see, the officer that we've got, he broke an arm or a leg or something or other the week before he was due to go. So then they got another full lieutenant to take charge of us. And of course we've got our own sergeant anyway, and corporals and everything else. And of course then we travelled Scotland, and we went right up through to the top and along the top coast. And one of our first jobs was to move troops from somewhere in Inverness to Ness Castle. Well, it was such a, I won't say funny case, but it was pouring with rain and snowing every day. Anyway, we didn't so much get lost as sort of was misdirected. And we were miles and miles from anywhere out, and in the middle of a big area which belonged to WVNHO Wills as a shooting lodge. And we were right out there, and of course this was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we knocked up this gamekeeper, and he told us where we had to go. But then the officer who said this chap that I was supposed to looking after, and I was driving the car then for the benefit of this gamekeeper, as I said, our officer was incapacitated, so they said. And they said, well, you know, I'll find everyone that pump. And I'm asked. Anyway, the thing was that we eventually got to Inverness, and I remember driving to Inverness, and then we got to Ness Castle. It wasn't very far. I don't know where it was now, but anyway, we found it. But before we got there, they turned in at the wrong place again, and somebody's lorry lit the whole guttering off of one of the big buildings that they got in there. It was a cloth factory, and ripped all this lot down. And of course, then they wouldn't let us out of this factory, you see. Shut the gates and locked us in there. So of course we couldn't move out until about 10 o'clock in the morning, and somebody had to sign for all this damage that had supposedly been done. I don't suppose it was probably just moved a bit of it, but I mean it probably in dire need of falling off anyway. But we went on, and time we got to Inverness Castle, the troops that we were supposed to move from there to the next site, they had marched there. They they'd all had to walk. So we went on and got there, and then, oh gosh, we did several jobs like that. It was a mess up from beginning to end. If you didn't know what a mad lot of turnout it was in that army, you'd never believe it. You'd never dream that we could ever win a war. They were sort of still so many years behind the times, you know. I mean, they were sort of every war we had, and then they'd go 10, 15, or 20 years, and then they'd have another war. All the stuff that was left over from the one before, a previous one, was taken and used at the beginning of the next one. But I mean, everything was so antiquated and everything, you know, it never moved up. I mean, you still got round tents, gonna pull up the middle. Oh gosh, you can never believe it. Anyway, that was one of the silly things that used to happen. And we did get, and on the Saturday morning, the second Saturday, oh gosh, we had to have a shower, and it was absolutely freezing. And we had to get this. But, well, it was kind of the biggest field, and they came with lorries and supposedly got the water hot. Well, I mean, by the time it came dribbling out the end of the pipe, I mean, it was frozen. Oh, by golly, it was cold. I never thought I was going to live or anything else. Anyway, I did. Survival of the fittest. But if we've been, you know, anyway, sort of older people would never have stuck it. Anyway, that was it. So, and then we had we lined up all the way down the side of Loch Ness, beside the road, and the general drove past in his big flashy car, what he's got, and we had to salute, and off he went. And that was all said to be absolutely first class. Goodness knows what I mean. Oh, gosh. Anyway, we got out of that. I got back to Peterhead eventually. And we got our winter clothing then. They said it was end of December. And we were given 7 days leave. Well, it just takes so long to get from right up there down to Exeter. I mean, a day and a half was gone before it got home, and then I had to use up another day and a half to get back up again. And then when we got back up to Scotland next time, I mean, we just a week or so of dodging about and different schemes and do this and do that and do something else and run here and run there. The next thing we knew, we had to take the cabs off the lorries. The back was had to be dropped down, and the, everything else had to be stored away. And then we, the morning arrived, and they said, right, you're all here on the road and queue up and form up. So we drove then there down to Glasgow. Put in, park the lorries up, and that was the last we saw those lorries until, for about a fortnight or 3 weeks, until we were in North Africa. We never knew where we was going to China or where we was going. I mean, didn't. Once you're inside the dock, they lock it in. You're all locked in. You can't. There's no chance of getting out. Anyway, I can remember the boat. SS Cuba. That was the name of the boat. It was just a banana boat, like from coming over from the West Indies. Anyway, That's what we had. And then as soon as we got on there, I was promoted to corporal. Because the officer I was driving for the fortnight for the scheme, he had to recommend somebody and he didn't know anybody. See, put my name down, said, put it down, I'm a corporal. So that fellow helped me. My money went up from three and six months to 5 and 6 months a week. Anyway, we made it. Yeah, and we did it. So anyway, we cut off the boat, and then we had small boats to travel along the North African coastline. I mean, we were never very far from the land anyway, and. That was 2 days it took to get along there. Our lorries were unloaded at Bone. I'd never heard of such a place before, but anyway, that was all new to everybody else, and that was the way it was. We got the lorries back at Bone. From Bone, we loaded up with. Compo boxes, 14 man crates they were. There was enough food and stuff in there in each crate to feed 14 men for a day. I don't know, around 150 crates on every lorry. And we drove on right the way out through to. As far as we could go, nearly into Berserker, but I mean, it was just the last night when we, by the time we got up there. I mean, we sort of just had plenty of time mucking about. But what happened was that in the army, it seemed to spend their life just wasted. Within the time away, they said, well, couldn't have, you know, had a victory and so and so. But anyway, there it was. So we then, after a changeover, I spent the rest of the war on my own. I took this major. Back to the unit one day, and they said, "Oh, well, we'll pick up something. You've just given a map reference, and they say, oh, well, yes, there's a major there. He'll be ready and waiting by the time you get there, but I think it'll be 40, 50 mile." I got there, and I found the place anyway. It's showing just a box beside the road, you know, with a stuff in a petrol can. And I had to pick him up and take him into Berserker. He was a docks specialist. He had to report before lunchtime on that first day in the Berserker. He'd report on the state of the docks and how long it would take to straighten it all up before we could start using it with our boats anyway. But I mean, Jeff weren't interested in that. He was interested in pinching the wine out of it. Which was all stacked down there. Oh God, what a fate. Anyway, there was prisoners, they weren't prisoners at that time, but I mean, all the chaps, the Germans and the Italians, they were giving themselves up in hundreds and hundreds. And, who can we see? You know, what do we do? Oh God. Anyway, we got out of there. Then I got transferred from that out of the division altogether then and the lorry. I was given a new Bedford lorry, a smaller one, just a 3-tonner. And then I spent, we we built ramps, and they had to practice reversing up these ramps, which was supposedly the same as we'd have to back up onto the ships to get loaded before we went to Italy. Well, we did. We got that ready. All the lorries had to be waterproofed. There's the only carburetor and all the different parts of it had to be covered up, covered with grease and goodness knows what else. And then we finally got down and onto the dock, the big river, loaded up, and the invasion was on the 9th of September. Well, we were down there on the 8th, because it wasn't going to take us very long to get across to Italy, where we had to go anyway. I think we had 2 days on the boat, and then we drove off the boat at Salerno, and it was exactly almost to the spot where we drove off as to what we expected. You see, the very little tide up and down. It's not like the tide don't go away half a mile anywhere there. It's sort of along the coast there, Italy anyway. So we were told exactly what we were going to do and everything. We drove off, and what happened? Engine first, I got to the end, and then walked right down through in the water. I was driving in the water to get up over the bank to get out. And anyway, we did it eventually and got going. Then I had to drive inland for about 300 yards or more, a bit more than that. And park up and unload all the stuff I got in the lorry, those blankets and petrol and everything. One spare engine. Couldn't move it, was so flipping heavy. Anyway, we got that unloaded. Then it was on the boats and every day and every night. And we worked for a fortnight on that, unloading it, take it in, and drop it off. I'm scared to unload it. All it was is just keep going all the time. Fill up a petrol, sleep, eat, get something to eat when you get. Anyway, we got going, and it was a fortnight before we managed to move the enemy out of the way. But anyway, we went on, pushed our way up through Italy, and all that pouring rain. It was raining every day. Did see the volcano, and got around the top side of Naples, and when we moved on up through to a place called Roccamoncino, and there I was, yes, first one in, and you go. Then it was wandered all down this little tiny road, well, one boat, maybe two wheel tracks, and that, you know. But see, after gone about a mile, there was a bridge which had been blown off anyway, so of course we couldn't. I said, oh, that's all right, you can turn around there and dig your way in and then stay there. We'll bring the rest down here, so I did. And that was it. And of course, some chaps were on ammunition, some on moving men around, some of them were on mules. And it was quite an exciting time. Anyway, from there we stood, and there was so many. We built prisoner of war cages and we just have to go up, depending on what ammunition we were carrying actually, from 2.55s, 25 pounders or mortar bombs or whatever, and you would go back down to Capua and pull out in the afternoon, come back up and wait till it was dark, and then we'd set off up for a casino. And that's how it went on for a week or so, and then we pulled out. But I mean, we had more of our own people in the prison cages. We got Germans. But that was the way it was. I mean, folks didn't want to, they just didn't want to be killed. I mean, I know. I suppose. Anyway, I felt that the war had sort of deteriorated, and captured to be silly, but I mean, I was blown up when I was on the beach at Salerno. There about 5-6 o'clock in the evening, and there was shells going over all the time, and one dropped off short, and he hit the back of the lorry that was parked up next to mine. Only just at that time we had a cup of tea and what there was going, and then I hadn't had any mail hardly since I'd been out there, and I just bundled of letters and rubbish, and I'd got a slit trench there, which I had dug anyway of my own, but I laid down there on the ground, and this shell went off, and it blew the lorry next to mine. Hardly describe it as being a lorry when it's been. Anyway, I was lucky. We killed 7 of my boats and was sat around the back of the lorry, chatting away. And killed the first 8 long members of Rotten Plain River. And when we stuck in, because I still had some cross-examination in the arms and that, but I didn't worry too much about that. But there it was. We managed up until February or March time, I suppose it must have been, and we decided that we'd be relieved by the 4th Indian Division anyway. They came and took over all our lorries and everything. We pushed off back then, got on the train, which it got running for that time, went back then to Toronto. And from Toronto, we went to Egypt. In Egypt, we went and got there, had a look at the pyramids, then they were all up to Palestine. Every time I hear that word Nablus on that television, I think everybody in Nablus had it instilled in them about being real so-and-so. I mean, just wouldn't even say to walk about or anything else. But anyway, we stayed there for a while, and then we sort of got this job to moving all this transport up to these other countries for the Russians. We sort of took it up there. Some of it they'd got, sometimes they would meet groups of their people, and they would say, oh, well, you've got lorries, we'll take them. And then about 30 of us would get on to more lorries and go back down to Egypt again and pick up another lot. But they were all so brand new lorries, you know. I just don't know what a waste it was, you know. I mean, such wonderful stuff all ruined by that. Anyway, I had one good thing. Well, I was coming back from Syria one day, and I stopped beside the River Jordan, I was eating this coffee sandwich, and that cuckoo went over, and I thought myself, of all the things that could have happened, it had to happen there, it was just a cuckoo, it was funny, really, that birds are always interested in birds, and that was it. But anyway, we moved on out from all that shambles. I changed from being a driver. I took it another army test and passed a trade test as a clerk. So then I moved to the defect branch of the CIMT, and then from there I moved down to GHQ. GHQ, I was promoted up to BNC Park, and we used to work for a couple of hours in the morning and a couple of hours after tea, from 6 to 8 evening. Well, supposedly work when you went in there, you used to get a bottle of gin and just sit there and drink it. I mean, the colonel, he'd come home on a month or 2 month leave or something or other, and that was why I didn't care. Anyway, we went to Alexandra, got on the boat, got stoned on the way, and all these hundreds of kids and people are throwing stones at you, and you don't realize, you know, how high those bucket stones are unless you're careful. Anyway, we came back through the south of France and crossed France, got over. That took us a night and a day and another night, and I think we got across France there, and then from there we came across to the, I can't remember a whole any of these places, but anyway, from there we came over, and I had to go up to London before I could change out and get back down to Devon. I had a fortnight leave there in February. So we must have left soon after Christmas, early in the new year in January. To left it to Italy. And then gone to the mainland. Anyway, such is life, it was then, and then I got my D-Mob card. I was glad to get out of it, and that was about it. I had to go home, and then report back to where I woke up. Get my suit of clothes, and a pair of shoes, and socks, and all that rubbish. Got an overcoat, I could have put you and 20 some others in there with me. Oh dear, and it's so funny. But that was the way it was, and then I had to start thinking about earn him some money. I saved a fair bit. It would be in Italy. The money was there. But, you know, there was no way you could go. You couldn't spend it, you know. It was hopeless. But funnily enough, in the telegraph, since we've been living down here, it's the biggest part in the telegraph about where they found us, these old footsteps, which are back in the early days. We were up in the mountains at the old town of Rocamontino, but the thing was that this place, this mountain and the side of it, where it erupted, and obviously had eruptions here for several thousand years ago, and then when the ashes were sort of consolidated a bit, and these footsteps had come all the way down over the side of this mountain. And I thought, I was, you know, just outside the tent, actually. I chanced to look at everything, and I would have liked to think, oh, there it is. And that took me to, just before coming out of the service, because I was a staff sergeant, I had to give lectures and talks to different people about what they were going to do when they came out of the service, you see. So I was sort of pretty well ginned up, and I sort of discussed it with several others, but and I'd always wanted to, not necessarily cut down trees, but, you know, for planting and doing the work was there. I mean, I could see that. So I thought, well, if I can get in with this lot, the commission, I shall be all right. So I did eventually join the commission. Again, when I came home, I had a couple of months, and I sort of went to the schoolmaster, and he just set me up with work. And the only thing I could never do very much was algebra. Well, that was my I didn't want anything else. Surveying. I could never find what X was.